Can we turn to Ezekiel chapter 17 again? Let's just unite our hearts together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we rejoice in thy provision for us again tonight. And our God, we thank thee for the fact that we have a great Redeemer. And we can say so many here tonight, I am redeemed. And our Father, we confess to thee our great need. We bring ourselves to thy feet. And we ask that thou wouldst take charge of our meeting. Thou wouldst give us the words from thyself. For words that thou thyself shall give, must and shall prevail. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Look at the last verse of the portion of scripture that we read. And it says, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. The prophet Ezekiel, who writes here, was an exile in a very strange country. In the year 606 BC, the Babylonians had begun the first of several deportations of Jews to Babylon. And the prophet Daniel was in the first group. Then in about 597 BC, young Ezekiel, then about 25 years of age, was taken with the second group of deportees, along with his young wife, and they were placed in a place called Tel Aviv, near a ship canal, the canal of Kibar. And there he dwelt for 5 years among the people. It was just like any of the rest of those captives that had been taken out of the land of promise. And he was there just dwelling an ordinary life, even though it was a life of captivity. But then when he was about 30 years of age, God, as it were, stepped into his life, and God called him to be a witness for him in a sinful and an evil generation. One of the striking things about the prophet Ezekiel is that he is a very dramatic prophet. He is a very, as it were, demonstrative prophet. He not only speaks the word, but he is a man who does use pictures and, as it were, he performs out things. There's a time in the book of Ezekiel where the Lord told him to cut off all his hair, and he was to burn a part of it, and then he was to smite a third of it with a knife and scatter a third of it to the wind. And it was an illustration of what God was going to do in the land. He was going to scatter, he was going to cut off, and so on and so forth. And what a remarkable picture it was that Ezekiel wrought. There's another time when he was told to make a brick out of mud, and he was to represent it as Jerusalem, and it was under siege, and he was to lie 390 days lying wearing chains and robes, and those 390 days were to be like the siege, and then he was to turn over on his side, and he was to lie another 40 days. And that was to depict what God was going to do again in bringing the land into captivity. Now, in this portion of scripture, I want you to see that he speaks a lot about trees. At the very start of the chapter, you'll read about two great eagles, and they come down into the trees. And you get the interpretation of it. We read how that these trees picture the two nations of Babylon and Egypt. And God again is speaking to the times. And then you go on down to verses 22 to 24. And again you have another picture of trees. And this really is the Lord Jesus represented as the branch. And then in the final verse you have four trees. You have a high tree, a low tree, a green tree, and a dry tree. And here is the man, he's taking the things of nature. You know, as we thought about creation during the last week, we have come face to face with God's great display in nature. How God has made all things. And we see how God has made everything beautiful and everything fits together. And one plant is there as the provider of fruit. Another plant is there as the provider of shelter. Another plant is there to bind the soil together so that it doesn't run and doesn't flow. And we think of God's great provision in nature. And here the prophet uses this picture of the trees as a representation of the people round about. And you know, as he looks at these four trees, it really is a representation of those around us today. No doubt even in this meeting, we have the high tree, the low tree, the green tree, and the dry tree. Now I wonder which is you tonight. Because as he speaks about the four types of trees and what happens to the four types of tree, there is a great depiction of what God can do in the life of different kinds of individuals. We're not the same. We're all different. We've all different personalities. We have all different ways of looking at the truth. We have all different ways of looking at the scriptures. Now I wonder tonight, as we look at these trees, which one is you? And I wonder tonight, as you look at them, can you see yourself in these trees? And can you see God's working in your life? So tonight we're going to look at the four types of trees. I want us to see the Lord's dealing with these trees as representing the people of this world in which we live. The first thing I want you to see is the high tree. And the high tree is a type of the proud sinner. You look at what it says, and of all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree. And many places of scripture, of course, high trees are representative of the high proud sinner. Perhaps the best illustration of it is in Daniel chapter 4, and you read about Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon. What a mighty king Nebuchadnezzar was. But we read in Daniel chapter 4 about Nebuchadnezzar. And it says here, thus were the visions of mine head and my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. And the beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. Now that high tree is taken of as a representation of Nebuchadnezzar himself. Now we don't need to question that, because if you're to look at Daniel chapter 4 and verse 22, and Daniel gives the interpretation, and he speaks about the tree, and he says, "It is thou, O king." And this was a great king, but he was a high, proud sinner. And isn't that a representation of so many tonight? Why is it that so many people will not respond to the gospel, will not take the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? It is because of their pride. It is that pride that holds you. It is that pride that will not allow you to acknowledge your self as a sinner, to have come short of anything, never mind come short of the glory of God. But you know, in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, we read of what God said about Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And isn't that the cry of so many tonight? I know not the Lord. Who is the Lord that should tell me what to do? What is this book that it should tell me what to do? What is it that these Christians are saying as they bring the word of God to bear? Who are they to tell me, don't I have my own morals? Don't I have my own righteousness? Don't I have my own way of thinking? And all that, of course, comes from their evolutionary mindset, as we heard this week. But here is that pride. Is there pride in your heart? Is it pride that keeps you that come from coming and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says here that the Lord will bring down the high sinner. You think of the Lord, how he told the Jews that they needed to repent. They needed to come down from their heights. They needed to come down from their arrogancy. And yet so many of those Jews, so many of them would not heed the Lord. Old John Flavel, the great curate and a very wise man, he once said, "They that know God will be humble, and they that know themselves cannot be proud." Sinner, if you're only to look in your heart, if you're only to acknowledge what you are, you cannot be proud. If you stand before a holy God, you cannot be proud. You'll humble yourself in the dust. In 1986, there were two ships that collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled out into the icy waters of the Black Sea. And there was an investigation that was done into the crash, and they wanted to know what it was that had gone wrong. And they found that the technology wasn't a problem. It wasn't a radar malfunction. It wasn't anything to do with thick fog or weather conditions or anything like that. The real reason for that crash was human stubbornness. You see, there were two captains, and they were on a course, and they were in a hurry. And they both knew that each one of them was there, but neither one of them would give way. Each one of them wanted the other one to give way. And they kept on and kept on until they crashed into one another with great loss of life. My pride can bring you destruction. And not only can it bring you destruction, it can bring destruction to others. So men and women, God can bring you down. Everyone that is proud in heart, the Bible says, is an abomination to the Lord. That means that God despises it. An abomination. If you think of the things that God calls an abomination, you think of murder, you think of all sorts of sexual immorality, God calls that an abomination. But the proud look, that's what God calls abomination. So don't get out on your high horse tonight. Don't stick your chest out and say, I'm every bit as good as you and I know as much as you. I come tonight as a preacher of God's word, an ambassador of Christ, to bring you God's word, to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Oh, that you might prostrate yourself in the dust, that God would bring you to himself. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12 says, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." Don't leave it to that time. But you come tonight and seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So we notice the high tree is the picture of the proud, lofty sinner. But then we come to the low tree, and that's the type or picture of the repentant sinner. Now you notice what it says in the text, "I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree." Now the low tree, of course, is the tree that has been brought down. It's a low tree. It's that which speaks of that which is humble. Now we think of the reduction of the low tree. If you go back to the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel chapter 4, you'll read in verses 13 and 14 how Nebuchadnezzar saw in the vision, he said, "A watcher and a holy one came down from heaven." And then he said to this watcher, he cried aloud and said thus, "Hew down the tree, and cut off the branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get from under it, and the fowls from under his branches." Now, what was that speaking of? It was speaking of the fact that God brought Nebuchadnezzar low. He had to go out and he had to dwell amongst the wild animals. He lost his mind for a little time, and he was driven out from the place of loftiness and the place of pride, and he was brought low. And when he was brought low, he acknowledged God. When he was brought low, he realized that there was a God to whom he had to answer. And oh, men and women, you might be brought low before him, that you might realize tonight that there is one that you must acknowledge. You think of the Pharisee in the gospel and how he came to God and said, "Lord, be merciful." The Bible says he would not so much as lift up his head to heaven. He was absolutely humble. He was absolutely filled with that sense of his own sinfulness. And he lifted up his heart and said, just, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But you know what the Bible says? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is it to be poor in spirit? It is to be low. Men and women, you can't find God until you humble yourself. You can't find God until you're low. You can't, we think of the picture of the eye of the needle, realize that none can enter into the kingdom of heaven, but they pass through the narrow gate. But in order to get through that narrow gate, you have to humble yourself. You have to bring yourself low. And the Lord said of the publican, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Oh, thank God tonight. Not only is there the reduction of the low tree, but there's the raising of the low tree. Thank God the Lord brings up those that humble themselves. He has promised that he gives to his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar turned to God, God put him back on the throne again. God lifted him up. In fact, you read in the book of Daniel how the Lord says, nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, and let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. And then it says in verse 26, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. And when Nebuchadnezzar came to realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, that is when he was lifted up. And you know, there's a great lifting up for those that are saved. He puts us among princes. He gives us the regalia of heaven. He gives us the crown to put upon our heads. And he gives us eternal life. And we shall never perish. So thank God for the high tree and the low tree. But then there's another tree that is mentioned here. It's the green tree. And that is the type or picture of Christ crucified. Now, the Lord says here about the dried up, he says of the fact that the green tree, the Lord had dried up the green tree. And it speaks there about this dried up green tree. Now, who is the green tree? The green tree is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we read how he's often spoken of in the Old Testament. In fact, he's spoken of here in Ezekiel as the branch. But in the Gospels, he also likens himself to the green tree. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 31, he says, for if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Now, when he spoke that word, he was speaking about himself as the green tree. What did he mean by those words? Well, he meant by those words that he was the green tree. A green tree is a tree with life. A green tree is a plant that's growing. If you break a plant and you have green in it, it's growing, it's alive. Now, he's the green tree. And when he says that they do these things in a green tree, he was speaking about his sufferings. He was speaking about the death that he would die. And he was saying about the fact that he would die on the cross. If that happens in the green tree, what will be done in the dry? And what he meant by that was that as a green tree, a living tree, if you put a green tree, if you put a green log in the fire, it doesn't burn so well. It'll smolder for a long time because it's not fit for burning. It has to dry out first. But if you've got an old dry twig or a dry stick and you put it on the fire, it will sprout up with flames immediately. It just burst into flames because it's ready for the burning. And the Lord was saying, well, if this happens to the green tree, if I must bear the punishment of sin, if I must bear the wrath of God poured out upon me, what will it be for the dry tree? Now, he didn't mean by that the sufferings that we would experience would be any greater than his, because he had the wrath of God poured out upon him. But what he did mean is that we are fit for the burning. You know, in the Bible, it speaks in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2 about a brand plucked out of the fire. Now, a brand is something that is just right for burning. A brand is a stick, a dried out stick, ready for burning. And you know, the Lord speaks of us. We are ready for burning. We're dead. Dry. Ready for burning. Just fit for the outpouring of the wrath of God upon us. And the Lord Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary. And he had to bear sin. And if the Lord Jesus had to bear sin, and if he had to bear the punishment as he bore our sins in his own body in the tree, then what will it be for you and for me? Old dry sticks, brands fit for the burning. What will it be as we go to that place of everlasting punishment? You see, the Lord, the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He dried up the green tree. The everlasting God, the God of life, had to die. Had to die in our room and in our stead. He is the green tree of everlasting life. But that everlasting life that he had was given over. He gave it over to death for that moment, to bear our sins, and that he might be our substitute. Well, men and women, I want you to think about the green tree. If they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? So there's the high tree and the low tree. And then there's the green tree. And then there's the dry tree. And the dry tree is a great picture of the saint. And we read about the dry tree flourishing. He speaks of the drying up of the green tree, but he says, I have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it and have done it. And thank God that's what the Lord can do. You know, there are so many people suffering today. So many people, and they are filled with sorrow, filled with a sense of the fact that there is nothing in this life. They've no satisfaction. They've nowhere to go. They feel as if they're withered and if they're dry. They feel as if there's no life and there's nothing being accomplished. And maybe you're feeling that tonight. But you know, the Lord Jesus is able to give real life. Life more abundant. Maybe it's not going to be life that's easy. We're not going to promise you it's going to be all bright every day and every hour. But my, there is that sense that we're going somewhere. We're going home. We're going home. We're just pilgrims here in the earth. We're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. We're journeying on. We're like Abram, who was a pilgrim, and he looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, thank God tonight that the Lord has caused the dry tree to flourish. You know, we think of this picture in the Psalm 1, how the godly man is likened to the tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, the prophet Jeremiah took up that thing, and he says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 8, For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And what a wonderful picture that is of the child of God. There's a picture of stability. It's a tree that's planted. Its roots run deep. There's no pushing of it, or there's no putting it off course. Oh, thank God, if your roots are in Christ, you're anchored firm. I wonder if you're planted there. Where are you planted? Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Rooted up. If you're not planted in Him, you'll be rooted up. There's a picture of stability. And then there's a picture of vitality. It is planted, this tree, by the rivers of water. The living fountains. The constant supply of grace. Oh, thank God, His grace, His supply will never run out. And notice that the word is in the plural. It's not just one river, but rivers. You ever notice that? It's not just that it's planted by the river of water, but it is the rivers of water. There's no end to the supply, no end to the blessings that God gives to His people. There's stability, there's vitality, and there's fertility. He bringeth forth His fruit in His season. A child of God will be known by his fruit. We will be changed. Will there be a difference in us? We will bring forth fruits meet for repentance. We'll bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. John 15 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Is there fruitfulness? So there is stability and vitality and fertility. And then there's consistency. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, thank God that the Bible promises prosperity. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to all have big cars. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be millionaires. It doesn't mean that at all. It's spiritual prosperity. Because every child of God, whatever they have in this life, have a mansion in glory. A mansion in glory. I'm going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven, and bask in God's own light. But some of you are lost and lone, and held by many a stair. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. R.C. Chapman was a devout Christian a number of years ago. He was well known for his love and compassion to others, so much so that one day somebody wrote a letter that they addressed to R.C. Chapman, the University of Love, England, and the post office knew where to deliver it. But one day somebody was talking to R.C. Chapman, and R.C. Chapman said to him, you know, I'm greatly burdened today. The man knew that as he looked at the face of R.C. Chapman, he didn't look like a person that was burdened, because he had a smile on his face. He said, what do you mean you're burdened today? He says, yes, I have a burden today. I'm really burdened, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings. And then he took the person to the Psalm 68 and verse 19, and he said, the Lord daily loadeth me with benefits. He daily loadeth me with benefits. Are you loaded daily with the benefits of God? Do you know His provision, His blessing day by day? Oh, He leads us by the rivers of water. He takes the old dry stick and He sends it to a place and gives it that vitality and that blessing. That overabundance of the provision of God. You can have that today. You can know your sins forgiven. You can know the blessing of your sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lamb. Will you come tonight? Will you repent of your sins? Will you come to the cross, the place where my Savior bled and died, and find that life, abundant life, in the Lord Jesus Christ. May He write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy word to our hearts again tonight. We thank Thee for these great pictures in the trees here in the book of Ezekiel. The low tree, the high tree, the green tree and the dry. And we realize, our God, that there is provision in our Lord Jesus Christ. For each one, there's life, abundant life, And Jesus alone is the giver. Draw sinners to thyself. Write thy word upon our hearts. And bless us abundantly right now. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.